This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Battle of 2021, Part 1, was delivered on January 24th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Frank. I just wanted to stand next to somebody awesome for a little while.
Already. Okay. Let's stand by you. Look, hey. Green on green.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
But, such a wonderful guy, and he's a Marine, so I just wanted to stand by somebody big and strong. Yeah, I guess I could stand next to Jesus too, so I was surrounded. Well, good morning, my family. Hey, one more announcement I have that it's really been on my heart to do this, and I ran some of the leaders in the church through this, but it's a foundational study that we will go over to help lay a foundation for us to build on, to grow. And we're going to do some in person. Whoever can make it in person, it's probably going to be in the church office. It's most likely going to be on a Monday evening. But so I need you, if you want to join in person, you can sign up over there at the greeting table. And there's also a box to check if you want to join us via Zoom, so we can have the option. And if there's too many people signing up, then we're just going to split the class and do it a couple times a week, or maybe even do it on a Wednesday night. I'm trying to see if we can get permission to use this place on a Wednesday evening, but it'll be a good foundation for us to lay to build our Christian life on. And it's titled Foundational Study. It's going to take us a few months to get through it. And it's a lot of material. So I'm going to give you a couple of weeks to decide. Because I got to figure out before we start how I'm going to get the material to you if you're going to join us online. All right? So I'll give you a week or so to pray about it. But if you know that this is what God wants you to do, go ahead and sign up. I'm going to get that started because it's a tough world out there, and we need everything we can get a hold of to be successful in the ways of the Bible. Amen. Don and Diana, you guys back? Wow, they came back from Oregon? Utah? Idaho. Oh, you brought back some potatoes for us? I see John brought back some. He's playing Santa Claus, I think. These are our members who went away for a season, but I think it got too cold up there, so they came back. There's no place like Hawaii. Welcome back home. Yeah. Man, you know, it's a battle out there. How many of you know that? We're in a battle. I mean, it's brutal. And, you know, I believe that God did not want you to hear this message this week. I swear, because, man, I had a really, really rough week. I felt the attacks coming. And man, there were times in my office and I was sitting, it's like, oh Lord, man. I was like thinking like, me? You're calling me to, it's like, because it's not an easy, and I was getting attacked. And it all just came down yesterday morning at men's ministry. I was enjoying the time with the men, and at like 5:55 a.m. my phone rang, and it was like, oh, you know when your phone rings early in the morning or late at night, it's like, uh-oh, right? It's not somebody calling you, hey, this is Publishers Clearing House, you just won $1 million. It's not like that when they get that call in the morning. And sure enough, a very, very, very dear friend of my family who helped raise my kids, who kind of like adopted us when we came to this island because we didn't know anybody. She passed away in the morning. So I went to the, I had to leave the men's ministry. Thank God we got good men to help me clean up afterwards because I had to leave. They had to clean up, take care of everything. You know, and they even had to eat my share of the patele stew. What a sacrifice they made, man. And then so I went and, you know, I prayed with the family, I cried with the family, and then later on I had a funeral in the afternoon for a young lady of 43. And so it was a really rough day. I just was like a vegetable at home, you know, before and after. I was just sitting on the couch and I was like, this is rough. This is a really, really rough life. But God has chosen me to bring the word to the people. He chose me, like I told Walt. He chose me not because I am the smartest person in the church, because I am not the smartest person in the church. Get that right, okay? I just chosen because I was the first one who showed up here. And it's like, okay, nobody's here. I guess I'm it. Right? And so I'm telling you that that's and it's a battle. You know, the Christian life is not a Disneyfication. It's not a Caribbean or Mediterranean cruise. It's not a picnic down at Hapuna Beach. You know, some of us may think that the Christian life is like this, but it's actually totally opposite. Yes, there is joy. Yes, there is peace, but it's not like some vacation where you just kick back by the pool and sip your iced tea and, you know, it's not like you will have moments like that, and I thank God for the moments like that, because when you have the rough moments, those peaceful moments down on the ocean with your fishing pole, fighting the fish, oh, man. You know, this morning I was standing in the parking lot facing east, and I just stood there, and I just soaked in all this vitamin D, closed my eyes, and it was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. But it's not, every day is not like that. You know, the Christian life maybe, possibly, could be like getting deployed to some foreign country. Of course, I couldn't tell you because I never got deployed. But I've been called to serve in the army of God, to battle against the enemy with and for people like us who make the choice each week. You know, I try my very best to pray, to hear, and to present a message to you in hopes that it would stimulate you into action, to join God's army, to get active in your Christian walk. See, according to the Bible, in Ecclesiastes 12:9, and I read this scripture every time, and I understand that this is the purpose of the preacher. And it says, in addition to being a wise man, which I explained to you, I'm not the wise man. I'm not the wisest man. You may think I'm a wise man, maybe like wise cracks, but, you know, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered and searched out and arranged many proverbs. So I read, I study. I don't understand it. Then I look at another translation. I don't understand it. Then I look up the words, and because I tell you what, if I don't understand it, then you might not understand it. But if I understand it, then I know everybody would understand it, even that fifth grader or second grader in here. We have to practice preaching to some of the children so that they can understand it, because if they can understand it, you can understand it. So the preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like gold. Okay, gold. You know that stick that they use to kind of push the sheep along? And not the gold that you whack your kids with, right, James? Not that kind of gold, right? No, just kidding. He does not. But that's what the gold are. It's just, you know, it's not to hit the sheep, but it's to kind of guide them. So, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. Beyond this, my son, be warned that the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. In conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God, keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. You know, I take seriously what I get to do each week behind this pulpit, to speak representing God. Yes, I may tell a joke or two, but you know, I think when I present humor and I make you laugh, especially at me, the walls come down and the word can penetrate. Because, oh man, we put up walls all over the place because we don't want letting people in. But when I joke around with you, I think you can see that I am just as human as you, maybe with more faults than you. And it's okay to laugh and have fun in church. Because how many of you would like to go to a church where we just didn't laugh at all? Yeah, I mean, I love to laugh. I love a good joke. You know, I was telling, was it Walt with your devotion about Zacchaeus this week? He was sharing about Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus? We related because we had to climb the tree to see Jesus because we couldn't see past the people in front of us. And I was like, man, yeah, we related, me and Zacchaeus. Brother Zach, because, yeah, it's okay to laugh in church and have fun while we learn together. You know, the battle of life that we're in is difficult. And if to go through a difficult battle without laughing once in a while is even more difficult. And, you know, this battle we're in, although in the end we know which side wins, but the devil, the enemy, he will not stop his attack on us. He will try to get each and every one of us to doubt God's goodness, His sovereignty. And he will try to cause us to go astray, to drift far away from God. We're in a battle for souls. The devil is trying his best to fill hell with as many souls as he can. And while we are trying to fill heaven with as many souls and empty hell, it's a constant battle. And at times, it can be exhausting. So this morning, you know, I want to start by praying for all of you out there, and even those of you who are on the internet, on Facebook. And this is, again, one of Paul's prayers when he opens his book, when he writes his letters to the different churches. He usually starts with a prayer. And this is Paul's prayer for the Colossians, the church at Colossae. And it comes from Colossians 1, 9-12. And I'd ask that you would bow your head because I want to pray this over you. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's what I pray for all of you. You know, you and I, we can all win this battle for 2021 if we use the proper weapons, the proper way. And we're going to find and explore and understand these weapons in this week and next week, because, you know, there are weapons out there that we have, that God has put in His word for us. But we just need to know what it is and how to use them, right? Because if you don't know how to use a weapon, like a gun, if you don't know how to use a gun, somebody can seriously get hurt. Right? How many of you, like one time I picked up a BB gun, you know, I was a young kid. I shot it at a piece of wood. The BB bounced back and hit me right between the eyes. I don't think, is there a BB gun safety class that I missed? Must have, that's supposed to be that my dad's teaching me, right? But that's why when you go buy a gun, you gotta take a safety class, right? When you buy a boat, you go to a safety class, right? Because if you don't know how to drive a boat, and you go drive a boat, that is, don't ask me to come with you. Yeah, because the prayers might not help us. So here we are. Number one, we battle against spirits. We are in this battle, and we battle against spirits. You know, we may think we're battling against, you know, flesh and blood, people, and that's what it seems like. But in Ephesians 6, it tells us differently. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, these things who are not flesh and blood enemies are demons over whom the devil has control. They are not like a fantasy. They are very, very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. That is us, because the Bible says, who is the church? You are the church. And when we believe in Christ, when we accept Jesus Christ, these beings become our enemy. And they try every device to turn us away from God. So when you say yes to Jesus Christ, it's like getting that target bag, cutting out that bullseye, and putting them on your back. Yeah. And we become enemies. And because Satan doesn't want you on this side. He wants you on his side. You know, although we are assured victory, we must engage in the struggle until Christ returns, because Satan is constantly battling against all who are on the Lord's side. And we need supernatural power to defeat Satan. And God has provided this by giving us his Holy Spirit within us and his armor that is found in Ephesians. Our struggle will always look like we're fighting against flesh and blood, against people around us. Doesn't it look like when you fight with your spouse, doesn't it look like and feel like you're fighting with your spouse? It's just because they're right there in front of us. When I have an argument with my wife, I realize that the enemy is trying to manipulate us in a certain way to cause us to fight. And when you can see that, you can defend against it. So it always looks like flesh and blood. It almost always. Sometimes you can feel things happen. You know, it looks like that people who gets in the way. It looks like sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And sometimes we are, you know. Maybe sometimes there's some truth to, like, myself being my own worst enemy. But I got to understand that ultimately reality is that we are in a spiritual battle that can only be fought with spiritual weapons. You take a gun to a spiritual battle, you will lose. Okay, it doesn't work that way. You take a knife to a spiritual battle and you will lose. You take a knife or a gun to somebody's house who say they see spirits and demons and stuff. You take any of those, what are you going to shoot at? What are you going to stab at? Probably end up shooting somebody because you might be seeing things. Colossians 2:15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Satan is a defeated enemy, fully routed, cracks, lickings, whatever you may call it. And Jesus Christ has left us, the church, to continue to plunder his house to the end of the age. How many of you know unsaved people? Come on, you guys better raise your hand. Okay? So we gotta take those who are on that side of the salvation line, and that's what he means. When we, you know, when you go plunder somebody, you take what they have, you go into their house and you steal or whatever. Well, that's what we gotta do. We gotta go that way, whatever way you may think, maybe that way, go and plunder Satan's house, people who belong to him, people who are not saved, and go plunder that house and bring them this side. Well, so you know, it also can be very unhealthy to be obsessed with Satan and demons. You know, it is useless to deny his existence, but the truth is, even the weakest of Christians have enough power of God and authority to overcome every demon of hell and should not be afraid. Amen? I want you to walk down the street, and when you walk down the street, Satan goes like, oh no, here they come. They know. They know they have authority over me. I better get out of here. The evil one is actually powerless against the church, but sometimes it is us who gives them power. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The enemy has one main weapon that he uses most effectively: the power of lies to deceive. What Christ disarmed on the cross was any physical and visible rebellion in the world. Whether that be Satan and his demons, false idols, pagan religions, evil world governance, this disarming, he totally gave us power, disarmed the enemy, occurred when Jesus died on the cross. It's like you defeat your enemy and you take off all his armor in the field and you leave him naked. Evil has no longer any power over us because Christ has disarmed it. Understand that. We need to really understand it, because sometimes we cower when the devil knocks at our door or a trial comes our way. Paul already told the Colossians that he rescued us, you and I, from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, took us from darkness into light. So if we are in a spiritual battle, it would be very useless to use physical weapons. We need to use, number two, spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. You and I, we're just weak humans, and we don't need to use human plans and methods and weapons to win our battles. God has provided mighty weapons for us to use as we fight the devil's strongholds. We must choose to use God's weapons, or we must choose to use the world ones. What are we going to do? Because we have a choice. We can try use the world weapons, worldly weapons, but I tell you already, it's not going to work. And Paul assures us that God's mighty weapons are powerful, effective. These weapons can break down the proud human arguments against God and the walls that Satan builds to keep people from finding God, because Satan does put walls. The Bible says Satan puts a veil over those who are unbelieving because they so that they cannot see the glory of God. You ever tried sharing something with people and they say, I don't get you. You know, we look at the sunset and we say, wow, God has painted us a picture. That's just a sunrise. You know, they can't see it because the enemy has put a veil over their face to keep them from seeing God's glory. When we deal with the people's proud arguments that keep them from a relationship with Christ, we may be tempted to use our own methods. Like, hey, slap them in the face and say, hey, open your eyes. Seriously, you really don't believe in God? But what would that do? That would probably push them farther away. But nothing can break down these barriers like God's weapons. And so here are the weapons that he has provided for us to use in battle. Okay? His word. His word. Where is his word? In the Bible. The basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. His word is powerful, and if you don't read his word, then you're not going to know how powerful it is. You know, the Bible, the word is living and active, man. It just cuts away the junk and transforms you. Prayer, something we all can do. We all can pray. The name of Jesus, like we sang, the name of Jesus is so powerful. But the thing about it is, you know, you just can't throw it out there. You know, if you read in Acts 19, there was seven sons of a Jewish priest who's trying to throw Jesus' name out there, casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. You know, they tried to use that name of Jesus to cast out demons. And you know what the demon said? Say, hey, I know Paul. I know Jesus. But who are you? They never had no relationship with him. So what happened to them? You might laugh, but they got lickings. The devil beat them up, stripped them naked, and sent them away. Holy smokes. So, if you're going to, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus, but if you're going to attempt to, like, do some exorcism and casting out Jesus, I would suggest you kind of have a relationship with him first, right? I mean, you ever get pulled over and throw out somebody's name, a policeman? Hey, I know Sergeant so-and-so. I will give you more tickets then. So if you ever try to use my name, you probably would be in worse off than you was. Yeah? Yeah, I know Pastor Scott. Oh, really? Oh, okay. I'll fix you. Yeah, so that's the thing. And then we're gonna go into detail in all of these next week. The Holy Spirit, he gives us that as a weapon. I like this one, the blood of Jesus. You know, these are, I mean, there is faith, there is so much more weapons, but like these, I really want to focus on these. And next week, we're going to go into detail looking at each one of these. So kind of like, you know, catch you in the middle where you're like, oh, really? You're not going to tell us this week? I could, but you'd be here too long and you'd be losing interest and you'd drift off to what's on sale at Macy's and what's for lunch. So We'll do that next week. And now in 2021, I don't want to lose any ground, even if we're still doing things online. I don't want to lose any ground or anyone to Satan by his deceptions. But just the opposite. We need to gain ground. And, you know, if you watch the news, which kind of like, I kind of stopped watching the news already because it's like, it's just nothing really interests me except maybe the weather, you know. It seems like we're losing. When you hear of the crime, the riots, the violence, the lifestyle, you know, when we look at the news, it's like, man, is the church really being effective? If the church is being effective, then why is there so much crime and violence? You know, even if Christ did win the war, we still need to fight that battle. The battle for our loved ones. The battle for their souls. We need to get them on this side of eternal life, this side of salvation. So that not only we would win, but they would win with us. Not only we enter in heaven, they would enter with us. And not only getting people here, but protecting ourselves from being deceived and turning our back to God. If the war is already won, why do we still have to engage in this battle? And I thought about that, and I prayed about that, and I read things about that, and hopefully I really want to answer this question and answer it just, not by just answering, but clearly. And next week, we're going to go over these weapons, and we're going to understand how to use them. Because, like I said, if you take a rifle into battle and you start swinging it around like a baseball bat, you're only going to get the people who are dumb enough to come that close to you. Right? I mean, but like, if we learn how to use prayer, man, how powerful is that? Some people, it's like, oh, prayer, that was my last resort. Why is prayer always our last resort? Shouldn't it be our first response? Amen? So we're going to learn those things next week. So if you cannot make it back, then catch us online. If the devil somehow messes with our connection, then hopefully we can get the recording to be on our website later on. I know one time the enemy did that. And he got in the way of one of our messages from Pastor Aaron. So Pastor Aaron, being the awesome guy he is, he went and him and Mike volunteered their Sunday afternoon when the fish was biting. They went into my office and they re-recorded the whole message so Mike could load it up online. That is how we win this battle. Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team to come on up, and next week is the fifth Sunday, so I just wanted to let you know that we will be doing our missions offering for our Foursquare Missions Press, which does just wonderful things for all of our missionaries out there. But I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me. For those of you out there on Facebook, for those of you here, the first step in signing up for the army of God, to be in the Lord's army, is saying yes to Jesus Christ. You say, I wanna be a part of this. I want the eternal life. I want the abundant life. I wanna be a follower of you so that I can use your weapons to do battle. If you desire that, then with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, anybody out there, anybody on Facebook, because I can hopefully see your hand, but not really, send me a message. Don't forget, if you want to sign up for our foundational studies class, Go ahead, do that. If you need a week to pray about it, if you want to talk to me about it, ask me what it entails, then come talk to me. You need prayer, let us know. You can, if you're here, you can tear off the tab, fill it out, and put it in the bucket, the offering box by the coffee. If you're out on Facebook, and if you don't want everybody to see it, you can go to New Hope East Hawaii. There's a place to request prayer, so do that. But if not, man, it's so good to be here. And you, we are in this battle together. Yeah, we put on the whole armor of God. And even though there's no back piece, because Jesus got our back, but we move forward. We empty Satan's place, and we fill heaven together as a team. Amen. God bless you all. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
Thank you, Pastor Scott. So we arm ourselves for battle with the word of God. Amen. And we go out in singing, and we go out into our community and be the church. Sing, sing unto the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.